No way, no way. That was good, John. Because I get to preach, I stay away from some of the tough names. So that's my bit of sharing there, how I skirt around some of the tough names. Thanks to the worship team for leading us in worship. Those are good songs, and you led well. Thank you so much. And to Greg for leading us in praying for these awesome ministries. It's pretty fantastic that we can be participating in those ministries. The Lord calls us to wholehearted obedience and worship of Him. God said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Jesus affirmed this command in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, saying in the greatest commandment, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And in the book of Revelation, God has some strong words against the half-hearted worship and obedience of some of the churches. In Revelation 2, verse 4, they don't love the Lord like they once did. In chapter 2, verse 14 to 15 and verse 20, they are believing and practicing the teachings of other gods. And in chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, they are neither hot nor cold for the Lord. But this ambivalent, half-hearted, and not really caring, lukewarm level. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus was pretty clear about wholehearted worship and obedience, saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So worship is loving him and obeying him. And from these verses and just a ton of other ones, we find that there is no room for a good enough attitude with worshiping the Lord. That can lead to disaster, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, when explaining that some will think they are fine with the Lord, but in reality they are worshiping in their own way, their own level of devotion to the Lord, and how the Lord had said He is to be worshipped, they don't follow, they disregard that. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So this good enough attitude towards the Lord can lead to disaster. Disaster. I remember years ago I had this Volkswagen car, a Volkswagen Rabbit, and the brakes were noisy on it. And they needed to be changed, but I could stop at stop signs and at red lights. So they were good enough. My brakes are good enough. Good enough until one day when a car unexpectedly stopped right in front of me and I hit that brake pedal hard and my foot went straight to the floor, not engaging the brakes, and I nailed the car in front of me. Good enough wasn't good enough. And with worshiping the Lord, the attitude of good enough and doing the bare minimum or thinking what you've done should be good enough for Him, half-hearted, ambivalent, lukewarm worship, this is terrible stuff and a prideful attitude and scary attitude to approach with the Lord. So here at the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019, I want us as a church family, us as brothers and sisters, to think about our hearts before the Lord, our hearts toward the Lord. Are we committed to the Lord, or are we half-heartedly committed? Do we have a good enough attitude about our devotion to Him? Should God just be happy that you give Him anything? Should that be our attitude? Is that our attitude? And if you're up for this examination, and I hope that you are, I want to caution us at the beginning. We have to be careful not to fall into the religious trap or the self-righteous trap when we start examining ourselves and looking at our obedience or looking at obedience to the Lord, to His law. Our obedience does not make us right with the Lord. Our obedience does not keep us right with the Lord. We must remember that we have already broken the law. There's no way to unbreak the law. So there is no way for us to be made righteous by our obedience to the law. We are guilty sinners. The law of God is an extension of God Himself. He is holy, and so His law is holy. And we fall short of the glory of God because we are born sinners. We have never obeyed the law perfectly. And therefore, we are rightly condemned guilty of sin by the holy law of God. But for us in Christ, it doesn't end there. And we don't need to be beating ourselves up over and over again because we are sinners. Because that's not the way that we are anymore. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh and lived the holy life, sin-free life that we were to live. And He was not condemned by the law because He was without sin. He fulfilled the law by obeying God perfectly. And so He put his life forward, put Himself forward as the perfect, pure, substitutionary sacrifice for the sin of people. And through repentance and faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God accredits His people's sin to Jesus and forgives the sinner, accrediting Jesus' righteousness to them. The sinner becoming justified, becoming a righteous child of God. So when we evaluate our obedience and our commitment to God, we must keep the law and the gospel together. We are condemned, guilty sinners under the law. We don't have perfect obedience or commitment, yet we are forgiven, born again, redeemed, righteous children of God because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The law condemns us, the gospel of Jesus saves us. And once saved, we obey God out of love and worship, not to earn our salvation or pay back our salvation to Him. All right? So, rightly understood, the law of God leads us to Jesus, who leads us to the law of God, which leads us to Jesus, which leads us to the law of God, which leads us to Jesus. So we got to hold them together. With this evaluating ourselves to see if we have half-hearted worship of God, with the hope in Christ to grow more devoted to Christ, it's an important undertaking because half-hearted, lukewarm worship of God is no worship of God. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So half-hearted or lukewarm is dual allegiance to God and something else, which is actually no allegiance to God at all. So for the born-again Christian, we want to make sure that our worship, no other worship is creeping into our hearts. We don't want to be drifting, prone to wander. We want to recognize that wandering so that no other worship comes into our heart, so that our heart is worshiping the Lord. And if we spot something, if we find something that is pulling our loyalty and devotion away from the Lord, we want to be repenting and work to put that foreign worship to death. All right? So that's all a lead up to this examination, this heart examination. Now let's look at the actual examination. And 2 Chronicles 25 is a very helpful chapter to us. There we find King Amaziah. And at this point in history, the nation of Israel was broken into two nations. The northern kingdom was Israel and the southern kingdom was Judah. And Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king of Judah. And he became king of Judah because his dad, King Josiah, was assassinated. And in verse 2, we get an understanding of the state of King Amaziah's heart. God's word says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. There was some obedience, but a half-hearted commitment and obedience to God. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3 tells us more about Amaziah's heart. It was not like David, his father. This is a reference to King David, who was king of Israel about 250 years before Amaziah. And he was their best king. 1 Kings 11, chapter 11, verse 4 describes King David's heart as wholly true to the Lord his God. Wholly true to the Lord his God. It's not that David was a sinless person, but rather David was a repentant, remorseful sinner. That's what made him such a great worshiper of God. He was quick to repent. He was remorseful about his sin that he did against the Lord. Amaziah's heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God like David. Repentance and remorse of sin against the Lord, probably not there. He had dual loyalties. And because of this dual loyalty, this half-heartedness, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 27 tells us Amaziah turned away from the Lord. Verse 14 and verse 20 tells us he worshipped other gods. So with Jesus' words that we can't serve two masters, and seeing that lived out in Amaziah's life, we, hopefully, don't want to be half-hearted, lukewarm, dual loyalties type of people. That's not worshiping God. That's moving toward and worshiping false gods. And Amaziah in 2 Chronicles 25 is helpful to us for this examination, because in him we find what a half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces. And knowing what it produces helps us recognize what's happening in our hearts so that we can repent before the Lord and worship him. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what a half-hearted heart commitment toward the Lord, what that produces. And I see six things in chapter 25. Number one, a half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces a heart that tolerates false gods. As the king, Amaziah represented the nation of Judah to the Lord. He was the ruler, and he decided if they would worship the only God or turn to a false god. Who a nation worshipped was up to the king, which sounds weird to us today in this democratically elected government, in a nation of 37 million people where we cannot be told what to worship. We worship whatever we want. But back then, the king ruled and the king decided. And when Amaziah came to the throne, Judah was worshiping gods, other gods. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 4, there we find that the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. What those high places were all about was they were altars to other gods. Amaziah's people were worshiping and sacrificing at those places to false gods. God told his people they were to destroy all those worship sites completely and worship God where he said he wanted to be worshiped. But Amaziah did not go that direction. He tolerated the worship of false gods. And he allowed this because he didn't worship God with a whole heart. His heart didn't belong to God. His allegiance was to other gods. A half-hearted commitment, a lukewarm heart, a good enough attitude toward God, this dabbling with God, kind of riding the fence, doing some Christian things, is a heart that will not only tolerate false gods, but accommodate the worship of false gods. All hearts that don't worship God will invite false gods. So when we look at ourselves, are there signs in our lives that we are living for someone or living for something else? Is there something that has our worship? Is there something other than the Lord that we find our purpose in life for? Are we living for people, our wives, our families, our children, our work? Are we living for them, or are we living for the Lord? Is there competition in our lives to worship other gods? Is that something that is being found in our hearts? Brothers and sisters, don't let this be found in you. Don't let this take root in you. Repent and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait, but repent and surrender and worship Him alone. Repent for straying in your worship. Repent for having a half-heartedness toward the Lord, and come to the forgiving Father and worship Him alone. Don't rest in the half-hearted characteristic of tolerating other gods in your heart. Don't do it. Don't do it. Repent. That's number one. Number two, a half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces a heart that puts its faith in people. In 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5, trouble arose. The Edomites, known as the people of Seir, some kind of a conflict or threat began with them. And it must have been very serious because King Amaziah gathered 300,000 soldiers and found it necessary to hire another 100,000 soldiers off of Israel. So 400,000 soldiers he brought together. He was ready and he was going to take it to the Edomites. But in verses 7 to 8, a man of God came to him and said, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel." There is an implication there that God is with Judah. And it goes on, "But go, act, be strong for the battle. Why should you suppose that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has power to help or to cast down." So Amaziah had his faith in the army of 400,000 soldiers. He wasn't even thinking of faith in God. The answer was people. The answer was soldiers. God had to send one of his men to Amaziah to get him to think about the Lord. And that's what half-hearted commitment to God produces. God doesn't come on the radar. Hope is put in people, in self. We are the rescuers. We are the powerful ones. What can I do to make this better? We need to look where our faith lies. Is our faith in man most often? Is our response to situations prayer and searching God's word, or just trying to figure things out on our own or try to get someone else to help us out? If it's there, we need to repent. Repent for putting our faith and trust in ourselves or in others. Repent of our half-heartedness and come to the forgiving, trustworthy, sovereign Heavenly Father. Church, don't rest with the half-hearted characteristics of trusting in man instead of trusting in the Lord. That's number two. Number three, a half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces a heart that resists sacrifice to the Lord. In verse 8 to 10, the man of God told Amaziah to send the 100,000 Israelite soldiers home. "Don't trust in the number of soldiers, trust in the Lord." And Amaziah replies, "But what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the army of Israel?" Amaziah is saying, "Hey, listen, I've already paid that army 100 talents. This plan is all moving forward. All these preparations are moving forward. I can't just give up the money and call off the 100,000 men. This would be a big loss." In Amaziah's eyes, this is foolishness. This doesn't make good business sense. Follow God and be out all this money and preparation and planning? I don't know. God's messenger replies, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord owns everything. He can give back to Amaziah this money, the preparation costs, everything. No problem. But a half-hearted commitment to God produces a heart that does not want to sacrifice to the Lord or for the Lord. Doesn't want it. And we need to look at our hearts and check our hearts to see if there's something that we are unwilling to give up for the Lord. A sacrifice that's too big to consider giving up. Perhaps it's something that has your allegiance and your worship. Church, we need to repent. Repent for not being willing to give up all for the Lord. Repent of the half-heartedness and come to the forgiving, sovereign, generous Heavenly Father. Church, don't settle into tolerating half-hearted characteristic of not sacrificing to the Lord. Don't do it. Repent. That's number three. Here's number four. A half-hearted commitment to God produces a heart that has moments of obedience. So in the midst of King Amaziah's double-mindedness, he had moments of obedience. Verse 4, when he came to power, he punished the men who assassinated the previous king, King Joash, who was Amaziah's father. He put them to death, but not their children. In this way, Amaziah was obeying the commands of the Lord given to Moses. In verses 10 through 12, Amaziah was told to send the Israeli army away, trust God, and go into battle. And he did. He sent those soldiers away. Those soldiers were mad, but Amaziah stuck with it, and he courageously went into battle, and he won. Half-hearted commitment to God has moments of obedience. Amaziah had moments of obedience. His heart wasn't fully committed to the Lord. He had dual allegiance, but there was moments of obedience to the Lord. But we got to remember guys like Judas, who betrayed the Lord. He had many moments of obedience to Jesus, yet his heart was not worshiping the Lord. So this can be tricky when we examine our hearts. We will see these moments of obedience and feel good about it, and we think, hey, I'm a worshiper of God, I'm doing well. When in reality, we have a half-hearted commitment to God like Amaziah and just have some good moments of obedience once in a while, blips of obedience once in a while. But our heart is half-hearted toward the Lord. We don't have consistent obedience to the Lord because we are not worshiping the Lord. We have dual allegiance, and we're not worshiping Him. But thanks be to God, for those of us that are followers of Christ and want to examine our heart and understand that obedience is there, even in some lost people, they have some signs of looking like they are obeying the Lord. What's so helpful is that the Lord has given us His Word and the church to help us. We can go to God's Word and examine our hearts according to God's Word. God's Word can cut through all the defenses we put up, all the reasons we put up of, hey, I'm a Christian, look what I did over here. I've tithed and I've done this good thing. God's Word cuts through that right to the heart and says, who are you worshiping? Don't give me the, oh, this is what I've done, this is what I've done. Who are you worshiping? The Lord's Word does that to us. As well as the church, our brothers and sisters, us, when we are in relationship with each other, over time, we get to know each other and we can see consistency in each other's worship. And we can see patterns of worship and obedience in our lives. Or we just see blips of obedience. When we examine our lives, we can examine, we should examine our obedience, our hearts with God's word and with our brothers and sisters so that we can carefully examine what is going on, where our devotion is at, but doing it with our brothers and sisters. So be careful when you examine your heart that you do it in a way that understands that there is obedience present. So that's kind of an odd one. Number four is kind of an odd one. But beware that obedience is there, even if a heart is half-heartedly committed to the Lord, like Amaziah's heart. I hope that makes sense. If not, catch me after the service. Number five, a half-hearted commitment to God produces a heart of foolishness. Produces a heart of foolishness. In verses 12 and 14, we find that Amaziah defeats the enemy. God granted him victory for some reason. And then Amaziah does something ridiculous. Look at verse 14. After Amaziah came from striking down the Edomites, he brought the gods of the men of Seir and set them up as his gods and worshiped them, making offerings to them. Amaziah, whom the Lord directed in this battle through one of his men, defeats the enemy and then doesn't worship God, but rather he worships the gods of the enemy. And in verse 15, God is so gracious again to Amaziah, he sends him a prophet who asks him, "Why have you sought the gods of a people who did not deliver their own people from your hand?" He's saying, those gods didn't save your enemies whom you defeated, but now you worship the gods of those defeated enemies? Doesn't it make sense that those gods are dead gods? They are powerless, and that the God of Judah is the real God? But to a half-hearted, committed person to the Lord, foolishness makes sense. Foolishness is the norm. God's truth is not rooted in the heart of a person with a half-hearted commitment to God. So the world's foolishness comes and takes root in the heart. We see this in the religious leaders at Jesus' trial in John chapter 18, verse 28. They are looking for a way to murder Jesus. So they go to the governor Pilate's palace, but they won't go into his buildings because that would make them religiously defiled and they wouldn't be able to eat the Passover meal. But they can work hard to kill an innocent man. That's okay. That isn't evil, and that doesn't defile them. It's foolishness. Or when Pilate brought Jesus out before the crowd and he said, "Behold your king." And the crowd of Jews replied, "We have no king but Caesar." The Jews hated the Romans, hated Caesar, but they hate Jesus more, so they publicly pledge allegiance to Caesar. It is foolishness that is reigning in those dark hearts. What the scriptures say, tell us about the wisdom of the world is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. There the Lord tells us, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." The world thinks the gospel is foolishness, so they obviously believe that they are very wise, but in reality, God says the world's wisdom is foolishness. But a half-hearted, committed person, a half-hearted heart that's committed to the Lord in that way, embraces the foolishness of the world. Embraces it. We need to examine ourselves to see if the world's wisdom is what we hold on to, is our worldview, is our perspective, is our approach to the world formed by this culture, formed by the world. If it is, we need to repent. We need to repent for embracing foolishness instead of God's wisdom. We need to repent of this half-heartedness and come to the forgiving, wise, all-knowing, Ancient of Days Heavenly Father. Church, don't be okay with the half-hearted characteristic of embracing foolishness, the wisdom of this world. And the last one, number 6. A half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces a heart of pride. Produces a heart of pride. After the Lord speaks to Amaziah, calling him to trust God, not soldiers, after God gives him victory, after God speaks to him again about the false gods, after these great things done by the Lord, Amaziah has incredible pride growing in his heart. In verse 16, a prophet of the Lord is sent to speak on the Lord's behalf, and as he is speaking, Amaziah interrupts him and said, "Have we made you a royal counselor? Stop! Why should you be struck down?" This is how Amaziah talks to the Lord's messenger, basically saying, "Who are you? Who are you to speak to me like this? What keeps me from killing you right now?" He obviously thinks that he's a big man now, obviously impressed by his battle victory and brushing aside that the Lord had the victory. And then Amaziah, for some reason, thinks it's time to take on the king of Israel, King Joash. So he sends a message to him, "Come, let us look one another in the face." Now that doesn't sound too bad to us today, but back then it was a challenge to battle. Amaziah had just hired men from the kingdom of Israel, but since his battle victory, he now wants to go after the kingdom of Israel and defeat them as well. This is more foolishness. Worship of the useless gods of your enemies and then start a war with your allies. It's arrogance. It's self-importance. A half-hearted commitment to the Lord produces a heart that does not give credit to God, but flourishes in self-centered, self-love, self-worship. Church, we've got to check our hearts. Check for pride growing or taking root, and be aggressive in attacking it. Repenting of that pride and arrogance. Repenting of this half-heartedness. And come to the forgiving Heavenly Father who sent His humble Son to take on flesh and give Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Church, don't coast along with the half-hearted characteristic of pride. Don't do it. Amaziah had a half-hearted commitment to the Lord, which produced a heart that tolerated false gods, that produced a heart that put its faith in man, that didn't want to sacrifice for the Lord. Yeah, he had moments of obedience, but he embraced foolishness and grew arrogant. You know, standing before the holy God, we are either sinners still found in our sin and not saved, or we are saved sinners found forgiven and righteous in the Lord and saved by Jesus Christ. So after going through these signs, these 6 signs from Amaziah's life, you've probably recognized some of them in your life. I know that I do. I look back on that and I go, tolerate false gods? Oh, yeah. Put faith in man? Oh, man, that one takes me down so often. Doesn't want to sacrifice for the Lord? Yeah, sounds like me. Have moments of obedience? Yeah, I have moments of obedience. Embraced foolishness? Oh, yeah. Has arrogance growing in his heart? Totally. Totally. So when we see and recognize some of these signs in ourselves, we need to take them seriously and look at why they are there. And perhaps one of the reasons they're there is because we're not saved. Perhaps you've been dabbling in Christian things, but God is a small item in your life. Your heart is lukewarm. You are half-hearted toward God. To those of you in that spot, repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. If you've been sitting in church for a long time and this is still you, and you have a dualism going on in your heart, and you realize, hey, that's not worship of God at all. I'm not even saved. I'm calling you to repent, to put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Stop living for yourself and worshiping yourself, and begin today to live and worship the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. If you are a born-again worshiper of God, and you see any of these signs in you, you see these signs in your heart, please take it seriously. Repent to the Lord and take steps to submit to the lordship of your heavenly Father. Be in His Word. Spend time in prayer by yourself and with other believers. Be in church to hear God's Word preached. Hear God's promises to you through communion and baptism and singing choruses and hymns. Don't allow half-heartedness or good enough to take root in you. Rather, worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do that. As we go into 2019, commit yourself to the Lord. Commit yourself to growing in love and obedience to Him. Commit yourself to growing in knowing Him and knowing His truth in His Word. Commit to examining yourself according to His Word. Give up to the Lord. Church, good enough is no good. No good. Surrender to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, and know that the Holy Spirit, who began His work in you at the moment of salvation, will bring His work to completion, the work of making your heart wholly true to the Lord our God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to your good and holy law, that we understand what kind of shape we're in. And thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our punishment and to cover us with His righteousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes and applying salvation to us. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come upon us with power. Come upon us now in a fresh way and give us victorious faith and humble obedience to you in this coming year and the rest of our lives for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh God, you are my God.
Amen. Amen. Just a few announcements or reminders. Please make sure that you receive weekly email communications from the church office. And if you don't, please contact Candace in the church office so that you can be in communication with what's happening in the life of our church. New Year's Eve, tomorrow night, everyone is invited to the Abihanas. Oh, I hope that that's right. And please, we have a really good website. Check regularly for upcoming events. There's a number of Bible studies that are starting, so check our website for those upcoming events. And now, church, as we go into this week, be strong in the Lord. Act boldly for Him, for no enemy can stand against the power of God. And God's children, they live on the power of God. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.